Good morning. Before I begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you give us words to express things. And Lord, I pray that the words I speak this morning will express your heart and that people will hear your words, not mine. Amen. Well, my name is Alison Jackson, and it is really lovely to be here with you today. I'm quite fortunate. Jenny and I trained together, so Jenny and I go back a little way now. And I've been invited to come here to talk to you about reaching new people, an initiative that's happening out of the Diocese of St. Albans. Someone asked me earlier what the diocese was, and I was like, oh, what is the diocese? So it's a bit like head office, but hopefully a bit more friendly. The readings that I'd... So, it's quite a long story, is this, and I know I haven't got a great deal of time, but I was on holiday last week, and I was in Greece, and I was very fortunate to be on a boat, but I was communicating with Jenny about the readings I would like for today, and they aren't the ones that have been read this morning. So, we can look at WhatsApp for that one. And so, before I start, I think I need to read the readings. Otherwise, you'll wonder where on earth I'm coming from. So, I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 12. And if you have a few Bibles, it could be found on page 1018, probably, if you want to follow what I'm talking about. Mark 12, starting at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And my second reading, which was the gospel reading, I'm not going to make you stand up, it's okay, is Matthew 28, verse 16. So that's again, is page 1001. It's starting at verse 16. Hopefully it's pretty familiar scripture to you. But if you're new today, I hope you will be able to follow me. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So, with those two scriptures in mind, I want you to know that I've spent a whole week, actually, in Greece, trying to work out what to say to you and how to say it. Because you're quite a special church. You do some amazing things. I've been hearing from Jenny and just hearing today, you know, the Make Lunch initiative in the summer. The community cafe, I think, that's just happened, that was a new one. You run Messy Church. You do the Christmas experience. You're obviously doing something for October. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. When we at the diocese hear about churches like yourself, we just want to give thanks that God is alive and well and working within you and within your hearts. It does us really, I can't tell you what it does to us at the diocese, where we just feel like ringing a bell. Yes, this church is an amazing church. So thank you. So some of what I say, you might think, oh, well, we do that. But bear with me. Because I was thinking, where do I begin today with a church that's doing great stuff? And I had to think, it's about journeys, isn't it? It's about journeys. And I think about my own geographical journey. So we've got journeys, and I think they split into two, really, geographical perhaps and spiritual. So a geographical journey. So 24 hours ago, I was in Greece. So to get here, to be here today, I had to get on a plane. Well, I was on a boat. So I had to get off a boat, get on a plane, get in a car, get on a bus, get in another car, to get home, to write a sermon, to get up, to come here. So in 24 hours, my journey, geographical journey, has been quite long. And I wonder what your journey's been like to get here today. Maybe you've walked, maybe you've driven, maybe it's been long, maybe it's been short. And I don't know if you normally do this as a church, but I'm just going to suggest you turn to each other in a very short space of time, just one thing about your journey of how you got here today. Go. Okay, I'm sure you could probably go on. It's really interesting, isn't it? We take journeys every day, don't we? We journey to work, to school, to the doctors, to the shops, libraries. If we're fortunate, we can get to take journeys to go on holiday, to go and stay with friends, to meet friends. We might always be in this country, or occasionally we might get the opportunity to go to a different country. But journeys are key, aren't they? Every day we have to do a journey of some sort, even if it's probably only to the bathroom. We have to do a journey. But when we talk about a spiritual journey, that's not always straightforward, is it? If we look at the Bible as a whole, if we look at the Old Testament, that's a story about a journey, isn't it? A journey of the Israelites. And it's, you know, we look at that part where it starts with Abraham and his journey and Moses and the Israelites and in the desert and into the promised land. It's a journey all the time. It's a journey, a geographical journey. And we move into the New Testament and it's about a journey. We document Jesus' journey from birth right through to death and resurrection. It's a journey. But it's not just a geographical journey. It's a spiritual journey. Now, my spiritual journey that I know about, consciously know about, began when I had my first baby. I'd never been to church in my life. And my mother-in-law said to me, "When's the christening?" after I'd had my baby. And I thought, I don't do God. I don't know. But I also realized I'd not been brought up going to church. I didn't know what I was saying no to. And so I went to church. And I met some lovely people. And it was quite a formal church, and they sang the Eucharist, and I really didn't have a clue what was going on. But one day, my son was ill, and I gave him Calpol, and I went to church. And I sat there in church thinking, well, that's interesting. What's happened there? I thought I was coming for my son, but obviously, something's happened. Maybe I'm coming for me. And I'd started on that spiritual journey. Now, my spiritual journey, as with my geographical journey, is interesting and long, and I haven't got time, and you would get very bored. But I wonder about your own spiritual journeys. Maybe you can really remember a time when you didn't have a faith and then you had a faith. Maybe you can remember a really significant person that helped you in your journey of faith. Somebody who adopted you and showed you and talked to you about things. Again, I had the very fortunate thing that when I moved to a new church, the curate adopted me and walked me through what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And the penny dropped, and I finally understood what God was about and what he was calling me to do. And I'm going to ask you to be very brave now, to just turn to the person next to you and just for 1 minute think about something on your spiritual journey, a moment that you remember or a person that you remember or just something, and share it with the person near you. Over to you. Again, I'm going to interrupt, and I'm really sorry, just aware of the time. Did you find that easier or harder? It's a bit harder sometimes, isn't it, to work out where it started, how it started, who was key, where you are on the journey now. But it is a journey. I want to just place all this with Jesus. And say, what did Jesus' geographical and spiritual journey look like? Well, Jesus grew up, didn't he? He was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, and he lived and worked among the people who he'd been sent to be with. In the Message Bible, it says that Jesus moved into the neighborhood. And what did he do? Well, he lived there, didn't he? He lived there, got to know his neighbors, worked with his dad. Grew up, got to know people. But then when he was approximately 30, it changed, didn't it? It changed. And he stood up in the synagogue and he read out of Isaiah 61. And it's like his mission statement. He says in Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll after reading that. He sat down and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And then he began. And that was his mission statement, his own why. Of why he was here. And that took him on this journey. And as we follow him through the Gospels, we see not only this geographical journey, but we see this spiritual journey as he walks closer and closer to the cross. But we also see, as people meet him, wherever they meet him, whether they're disciples that he chooses, or whether they're people that he heals, their lives are changed. Their lives are changed forever by meeting Jesus. Now, Jesus went to the cross for us, and he was resurrected, and he is with us now. And through his own life and journey, he gave us and left us four commands. And these are the ones we were reading. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. That's based on the Shema, which was given to the Israelites way back in Deuteronomy 6. So that scripture traveled a journey right through to the New Testament. The second is love your neighbor as yourself, which Jesus constantly talks about in the Gospels. And he shows us what he means by that. And he tells us what loving our neighbor truly means. And I understand we're having a communion service this morning. Well, that's another of Jesus' commands. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So whenever you're gathered, and we're going to do it today, we remember Jesus, his journey to death and resurrection. But then he says, and he leaves us with the final one, to go and make disciples of all nations. And he says that to the gathered disciples before he finally ascends to God. So all these are equally important, equally aspirational, to be eagerly desired and responded to. But they're not easy, are they? Very easy to say, difficult to do. So how does Jesus' commands and his journey impact on us today? Well, it's been recognized now that we live in a missionary age where the majority of people don't go to church. If you look around, this is a busy church, lots of children, but there are a lot of people that aren't here, aren't there? A lot of people who will be doing different things today because their lives are like that. We have changing Sundays. People work all Sunday, don't they? All the shops are open. My dog had to go to the vet's this morning before I came here. The vet was definitely working this morning. So many people work on a Sunday. Doesn't mean to say they don't love God. They might not just be able to get to a church at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. Doesn't necessarily mean they're not interested. But our society is changing cultures, changing work patterns. Everything is changing. Sport, everything is changing. But Jesus changed everything, didn't he? He didn't stand still. He didn't start in the synagogue and stay in the synagogue. He moved. He moved to where the people were. And when we see what Jesus was doing, he did start in the synagogue. But then we read in the gospel time and time again, he's walking. He's walking on a road. He's talking to people. He's in gardens. And he spends a lot of time eating with people. He loves people and he loves eating with people. And he feeds the hungry. Make lunch. He feeds the hungry. He's always where people are. And that's what we've been noticing over the last 20 years. There is a growing desire to take faith, to take Jesus, who is with us, out into our communities. To take it where people are. And that's become known as a fresh expression of church. And that's really what we're talking about now today. It's a missionary movement that's trying to reach people who do not know Jesus yet. It's as simple as that. And a fresh expression or a new form of church is for our changing culture, which is established primarily for people who are not yet members of a church. So what does that mean? Well, take for instance your messy church. We'll have a plastic cup because messy church. If your messy church worships God through song, hears God's story through stories, teaching, craft, if you eat together, if you pray together, that is an expression of church wrapped around Jesus, who is the water of life. So, it would look like that. But maybe church happens for some people in a pub. Jesus is the center. Jesus is the water of life. Maybe in a cafe. My nice cappuccino mug that I don't drink, but there we go. And Jesus, the water of life, how many times is Jesus in our celebrations? Ordinary day, everyday tumblers. And just for something lighthearted, Jesus at breakfast. So, new forms of church are growing up. New Christian communities, they may look different, they may be at different times, but with Jesus as the water of life, they are expressions of church for today, for people who can't be here at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. They are no less relevant, they are no less important, because Jesus is there. I'm going to ask now for a film to be shown, because this will show you what some of the new fresh expressions are looking like. So, what that video is showing is that for many people, they're not sitting in church wondering where people are. They're out connecting in different ways and taking the love of Christ with them wherever they go. So, the Reaching New People team has come into being for a purpose, and that purpose is to help churches to explore the who they want to connect with, and the how they're going to do this. Partnering with the Holy Spirit to make new disciples. One of the things the diocese have noticed is actually, as a diocese, we're really, really good at setting up new initiatives. But then we don't talk to them about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We might feed them, but we don't feed them spiritually because we've become a little bit afraid to talk about Jesus. So the things that we're hoping to help you do is training you to help to speak to people about Jesus in a very ordinary, everyday ways and in very ordinary, everyday places. And our training at the moment is looking at something that it's in full flow at the moment. We're in Nebworth, and the idea is that wherever you are, so let's take Messy Church, for instance, because it's up and running, how would you help people in Messy Church to grow in their knowledge and love of Jesus Christ? The training would help you to know how to do that. Or maybe your community cafe that's just started, in 6 months' time, you might be looking at it in a different way and thinking, I wonder, is this church? Can we make this church? How would we need to change, or what would we need to do for people to know that they are in the presence of Jesus when they're here with us? Those sorts of questions are looked at through the training. And actually, we're looking for a home for our training next year. So if it's something that as a church you might be interested in all coming to, we can arrange the training to run out of this church. But what we're doing is we're asking everyone to start if you've not started. Now, you've started in lots of different ways, but there's always more, there's always things you can learn. But we are running, hopefully, if I gave you, you must have been given one of these when you walked in. Did you all get one of these, or enough that can see one of these? This tells you all the different ways that the Reaching New People team can help your church. Lots of six main different ways. First one, as I've discussed, is through training. But then you might be running something. We'll go back to the community cafe because you've just started it. And you might want somebody like me to come and work with your team so that you can think things through about discipleship. How could that look like? What would it do? How could we do that? And that would be consultancy. And we also do these things now called learning communities or communities of interest. And anyone who's involved, say in Make Lunch or in a toddler group or in Messy Church, we're asking to gather you together so you can learn from each other. Because there are so many good things happening in our diocese and probably even in your own area, the way people do things. And when you hear it, you think, oh, I wish I'd known. Oh, I can do that. And part of that process is we're gathering stories to put out on social media and in print to tell people in the diocese other things that are happening. And your Fresh Expression Development Officer will be talking to Jenny about the things, the stories that could come out of here that could encourage the rest of the diocese. We have coaching for specific things. If you're a leader of a group working with something specific, we come and work with you about that. And we even will give you some money to set things up or to help things run if you need some money. And one of the things we ask is that you start to count who's coming, the age they are, and everything about them. Well, not everything about them, obviously, but there's an indicator pack so that what happens, we can get information about and tell the rest of the diocese these exciting things. Since we started doing this, some of the stats that are coming out at the moment, and it's all very new, would suggest that 25% of people who go to a church that's not Sunday church, 25% of them are on their own spiritual journey and are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That's a quarter of people. And there are thousands of people coming to Fresh Expressions in the diocese. So it's all incredibly exciting, and we'd love you to be part of this journey. So our job is here to help you. But before I finish, I just want to focus back on Jesus. We're called to do this because Jesus himself with those commands as asked us to do that. He was this original pioneer, as I said. He took he started off with the Jewish faith and he took it out, didn't he? And because he took that out, we are here now. And why? But why is he asking us to do this? He says in John 17, before he leaves in his final prayer with God, he says to his Father, I want those you have given me to be with me. And to paraphrase Philippians 2, 6 to 16, we, as Christians, hold out the word of life. We carry the light of Christ. We carry it wherever we go, in our work situations, on the bus, in the shops. We are the light of Christ. And my final thought, as we are all called to make disciples of all nations, Jesus said the thing that is my favorite thing right at the very end. He said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We do nothing on our own. We do it all with the gift of the Holy Spirit and with the help of Jesus. So I would encourage you, if you're not involved with the things that are already happening in this church, get involved if you possibly can. For some people with work and various other things, it's really difficult. But we've produced this booklet called Bless, Eat, Pray. And this little book is for yourself or for house groups to read on the train, on the bus. It's very easy to read. But it talks about how you can pray for your area, how you can pray for certain different things in your area, but how you can start to bless people, both individually and in groups, and how that you can help to see yourself as a missionary, because Jesus calls us all to be missionaries. Amen.